We have a glorious opportunity in these last days to teach and preach God's Word. Welcome to Tony Brew Ministries. Here is a Bible session from the book of Isaiah, chapters 54 and 55. The title is, God's Compassion for All People.
Appreciate y'all being in here this morning. We're in Isaiah chapter 54 and 55. God is full of compassion, love for all people. God's compassion for all people. That's our session title. Golden text is Isaiah 55:1. Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters. And he that hath no money, come ye, buy and eat. Yea, come, buy wine and milk without money and without price. This is an invitation verse. It says come. Didn't say come if you're rich. Come if you have a lot of money. Come if you get a big loan at the bank. He says come. No matter if you have no money. It doesn't take money to get what is being offered. Come. Without money, without price. Come and buy. Come and eat. Buy wine and milk without money, without price. So what we're talking about is beyond this world's comprehension. It's an invitation that's given by a loving and compassionate God. We have to step back and take a deep breath sometime and remember that God is a God of love, is a God of compassion. He is angry with sin. He judges sin and ungodliness, but he is a God of love. He's a God who cares, and he understands. When we refuse to come to him, there's no alternative but to be judged or to be chastened by him. But when we come to him, we get in on all the gravy, the blessings of love, compassion, and mercy. He gives us his kindness, his understanding, and all the blessings of God are afforded to us. All the forgiveness and all the cleansing and all the pardon is sent our way just by coming to him. To refuse to come to such an offer as that would be a crazy thing. It's a no-brainer. As the old Southern Gospel song said, he gave me an offer I could not refuse. And God's offer is to come. God's everlasting mercy and kindness. Chapter 54 opens with a happy tone to it. Happy, happy, happy. Sing, O barren, thou that didst not bear. Break forth into singing and cry aloud, thou that didst not travail with child. For more are the children of the desolate than the children of the married wife, saith the Lord. You would think that the lady who was in labor would be crying out and hollering. But he said, even if you're not bearing children, even if you're not in labor, sing, cry out, holler, make a shout. Those who are not giving birth to children in the flesh, but he's talking about greater than that. More are the children of the desolate one than those of the married wife, says the Lord. The children of the married wife are physical children. The children are the desolate one. Even if you're barren and you can't have children, you can have spiritual children. And he says, get ready. Sing. Those that cannot bear children and want to, they don't usually have anything to sing about. But he said, get ready. He says, sing and shout. More are the children of the desolate one than those are the married wife, says the Lord. And he says, get ready for it. Enlarge the place of thy tent. Let them stretch forth the curtains of thine habitations. Spare not. That means don't stop. Don't wait. Lengthen thy cords and strengthen thy stakes. Got to get ready for the children that are coming. When you have children in your house, naturally, you have to get ready for it. You have to build a baby room. You have to make a room for the baby. You have to build a nursery. You have to have a crib. You have to have the house childproof. You know, all kind of things have to happen. It's like the song said, a baby changes everything. A lot of things change when a baby comes into the house. So he says here, that's the same way with these spiritual children that are coming. You got to get ready. You got to make your tent bigger. You got to stretch out your curtains. You got to strengthen your stakes, make your stobs real strong, because you're going to need all this room. Thou shalt break forth on the right hand and on the left. Thy seed shall inherit the Gentiles. Oh, now we see how this will happen. The Gentiles is going to get in on the blessings of God. These Jews felt like they had God in their box. A lot of Pentecostals do that. They got a Pentecostal God. But he's not in a Pentecostal box. He's not in a Baptist box. He's not in a Methodist box. He's God all by himself. He's not boxed in with anybody, anywhere, anytime. God says, you will inherit the Gentiles. The Gentiles will get in on the blessings of God. Make the cities, the desolate cities, to be inhabited. They have been desolate. They have been in captivity. Now they will be inhabited. Fear not, for thou shalt not be ashamed, neither be thou confounded, for thou shalt not be put to shame. He says, all your shame is over. This captivity is over. The doubt and the confusion and the things that this world has brought upon you, all that is over now. For thou shalt forget the shame of thy youth and shalt not remember the reproach of thy widowhood anymore. Widowhood and widowerhood has reproach to it, because everybody judges you because whether you are a couple or not. I know how it is to be the third wheel, the fifth wheel, the seventh wheel, whatever kind of wheel. It's odd. Because you're the odd one, because your husband or your wife has passed away. You're a widow or a widower. But he said, you're not going to remember that anymore. You're not going to be bothered by that anymore. Paul said that the time is short. It'll be those who had wives will be like they had none. Those who had none, it won't matter, because the Lord is coming. For thy maker is thine husband. The one who made you, the one who created you, he's your real husband. Amen. He's glory to God. He's the one who will never do you wrong. He's the one who won't walk out on you. He's the one who won't treat you bad. He's the one who won't cheat on you with another woman. He's your maker. He's your husband. The Lord of hosts is his name. Thy Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel. The God of the whole earth shall he be called. This is the one we're talking about. The Lord has called you as a woman forsaken and grieved in spirit. He's brought you back to himself. It's like a wife of youth when thou wast refused, saith thy God. You were refused and now you'll come to the Lord. For a small moment have I forsaken thee, but with great mercies will I gather thee. In a little wrath I have hid my face from you as in a moment. It seems like forever when you're going through trouble, when you're going through trial, but it's just for a moment. For a moment have I hid my face from you. For a moment have you been forsaken. Just for a moment. But with everlasting kindness will I have mercy on thee, saith the Lord thy Redeemer. You'll forget that moment. You'll forget that little time. With everlasting kindness, I'll have mercy on you. This is like the waters of Noah. He gives you an example. It's like the waters of Noah in the rainbow. God says, as I have sworn that the waters of Noah shall no more cover the earth, so have I sworn that I will not be wroth with thee nor rebuke thee. I can look up in the sky and see the rainbow. And I can remember my covenant with Noah. And that's the way it is with you. I will not forget you. I will not forsake you. I will still have mercy on you. My merciful loving kindness is yours. For the mountains shall depart and the hills be removed, But my kindness shall not depart from thee, neither shall the covenant of my peace be removed, saith the Lord that hath mercy on thee. I will remember my covenant. The mountains and the hills may go away. They will depart, but I will not take my mercy away from you. I will not take my kindness away from you. God's promise to his people. He promises us, and he says, O thou afflicted, tossed with tempest and not comforted. He's talking about his people who's going through all this trouble, and the world around them is reeling and rocking. Israel and Judah had gone into captivity, and you and I are facing troubles of our own. Even though we may not be involved in sin and ungodliness ourselves, we're plagued with it all around us. He said, Oh, you afflicted with tempest, tossed with tempest, not comforted. Behold, I will lay thy stones with fair colors and lay thy foundations with sapphires. He's talking about these places that have been burned and destroyed. Captivity has taken over, and now he says, I'll rebuild it. I'll lay your foundations with sapphires. I will make thy windows with agates and thy gates with carbuncles and all thy borders of pleasant stones. You're not going to remember all that misery and the rubbish and that which was burned with fire. It will be beautiful again. All thy children shall be taught of the Lord. You worry about your children, about your grandchildren. He said there's coming a time they'll be taught of the Lord, and great shall be the peace of thy children. And we're looking at these promises. God is giving his people promises. Every promise in the book is mine. Every word, every chapter, every line. It all belongs to us. And he's giving us this promise. And these promises, you'll be rebuilt, you'll be restored, you'll be reformed, you'll be regathered. Your children will be taught of God again. They will enjoy peace. In righteousness shalt thou be established. Thou shalt be far from oppression. Praise God. Oppression will be taken away. Thou shalt not fear. Oh, it's a good thing to have fear removed, isn't it? These preachers tell us God has not given us a spirit of fear. Well, I know he hasn't given to us, but there's a lot of fear around us. It sure is good when that fear is removed. God said, I'll remove that fear. And the terror, no more terror. Psalm 91 talks about it. Thou shalt not be afraid of the terror by night, the arrow by day, destruction that wastes at noonday. I'll take that away from you. It shall not come near thee. And he says, Behold, they shall surely gather together, but not by me. He's talking about those who would do what they want to do. People talk about, is God really in control? They shall surely gather together. We've seen gathering together lately. Mobs and crowds, they gather together and do what they want to. God said, they can do it. I'll let them do it. But he says, not by me. In other words, I don't approve of it. People think that just because God doesn't stop everything, that he approves of it. God doesn't stop a lot of things that he doesn't approve of. Just because he doesn't stop it all the time, that doesn't mean that he approves of it. How do we know what he approves of? Well, all we got to do is read his word. He tells us what he approves of and what he doesn't. He said, love your enemies, pray for them, don't tear things down, don't burn things up, don't cause trouble like that. That's not the way you fight your battle. Song said, this is how I fight my battle. Not by physical weapons and battles, burning up and bombing and shooting. That's not how we fight our battles. We fight our battles by spiritual warfare. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, against principalities, powers, the strongholds, wickedness in high places. They shall gather together, but not by me. Whosoever shall gather together against thee shall fall for thy sake. When you come against God's people, you're coming against God himself. Jesus said, he that is not for me is against me. He who does not gather with me scatters abroad. And Jesus said, if you reject me, you're not rejecting me, you're rejecting the one who sent me. You're rejecting my Father. And that's the way it is. Those who are against us, they're not really against us. They're against God. Behold, I have created the smith that bloweth the coals in the fire, and that bringeth forth an instrument for his work. I created the smith, and I gave him knowledge to work a work, but that doesn't mean that I approve of all the evil work that he works. I have created the waster to destroy. I have given him the ability, if he wants to be a waster, to destroy, but that doesn't mean that I approve of destruction. In fact, the very next verse, the one we know so well, at least the first part of it, proves that. No weapon that is formed against thee shall prosper. We like that verse. No weapon that is formed against thee shall prosper. But God is the one who created the smith that blows the coals in the fire to bring forth an instrument for his work. He created the smith. He gave him the knowledge to work, but he doesn't approve of the evil work. And when he brings forth the work and a weapon to form against us, it may be brought against us. It may be even formed against us, but no weapon that is formed against thee shall prosper. And every tongue that shall rise against thee in judgment, thou shalt condemn. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and their righteousness is of me, saith the Lord. God's promise to his people, I will deliver you, I will bring you out, and you will be helped. I will be with you. This is my promise. There may be weapons formed against you, but they will not prosper. We don't have to worry about the weapons of evil prospering against God's people. God said the weapon will not prosper. It may be formed, but no weapon that is formed against thee shall prosper. Every tongue that would rise against you in judgment, to rail against you and judge you and try to put you into their mold and try to make mincemeat out of you and overcome you, God said, every tongue that would rise against you in judgment, you will condemn. How are you condemning? Not in a shouting match, not in a gunfight. You will condemn it because this is the heritage of the servants of the Lord. You'll condemn it by God's word. Their righteousness is of me, says the Lord. God's invitation to the nation. God invites the nation of Israel. And this applies to the nation of Israel. That's the right on and straight application, but it also applies to us too. The direct application is to Israel and Judah, and then we have spiritual application, of course, to us. Ho, everyone that thirsteth. That word in Hebrew is the same thing. Hoi, like ship ahoy, hoi. Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters. If you're thirsty, come to the waters. That's God's invitation. If you're thirsty, and all of us have been thirsty, there are people who are thirsty that won't admit that they're thirsty. If you're thirsty, you need a drink of water. If you're thirsty in your soul, you need a drink of spiritual water. The Word of God. If you're thirsty, come to the waters. He who has no money, well, I don't have any money. He says, come on anyway. Come ye, buy, eat. Yea, come. We hear come over and over. Come is the invitation. Buy wine and milk without money, without price. Wherefore do you spend money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which satisfieth not? You're spinning your wheels. You're not getting any deals. You're trying your best to be satisfied. You're spending money for that which is not bread, that does not satisfy. Hearken diligently unto me, and eat ye that which is good. That's the invitation. Hearken, listen unto me, eat that which is good. Let your soul delight itself in fatness. God has given a number of invitations in chapter 55. He says, come and eat. Don't worry about money. Leave your wallet at home. As the commercial said, don't worry about that. Come and eat. Come and partake of that. Let your soul be satisfied in fatness. Incline your ear and come unto me. Listen to me. Come to me. Hear, your soul shall live, and I will make an everlasting covenant with you, even the sure mercies of David. God said, all you got to do is come to me. We'll have covenant together. We'll have lunch together. We'll have dinner together. I'll make a covenant with you, the sure mercies of David. You will have the covenant that I made with your fathers. The land will be yours. The blessings will be yours. The prosperity will be yours. All you have to do is come to me. And what about you and I? We're not looking for an earthly blessing. Even though God prospers us everything that we need, He gives us our daily bread. He gives us more than we need. He gives us many of the things we want. There's not a soul that has not been given more than what they need. God gives us many of the things that we want. There's not many things that we want that God doesn't see to it that we have. You know why? Because He's already provided for what we need. Behold, I have given Him for a witness to the people, a leader and commander to the people. He talked about the sure mercies of David, and then he said, I have given Him for a witness to the people. But that Him that he's talking about is not David, it's the Son of David, Jesus Christ. I have given Him for a witness to the people, a leader and a commander to the people. Jesus Christ is our real commander-in-chief. The President of the United States may be the physical commander-in-chief, but our commander-in-chief doesn't go out of office in 4 or 8 years. Our commander-in-chief is always on the throne. Our commander-in-chief is the Lord Jesus Christ. I have given Him for a witness, for a leader, a commander of the people. Behold, thou shalt call a nation that thou knowest not, and nations that knew not thee shall run unto thee because of the Lord thy God and for the Holy One of Israel. For He hath glorified thee. God is saying, I'm going to bring nations that you are not familiar with. They will come into the family of God. It has to do with this Jew and Gentile, red and yellow, black and white. God is saving all those who will come to Him. And He breaks down that middle wall of partition between us. Ephesians chapter 2 talks about Jesus comes and He makes of one nation. He makes of twain, of two, one new man. He takes the Jew and the Gentile, and that partition that separated us between us, He took it out of the way and He nailed it to the cross. And now we are indeed, as it would say, one nation under God. Doesn't matter whether you're American. It doesn't matter whether you're black, yellow, red. It doesn't matter what color you are. It doesn't matter the color, the kind. We're all together in the family of God. When we're born again, Jew, Gentile, none of that matters anymore. And so He gives the invitation. Seek ye the Lord while He may be found. Call ye upon Him while He is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, the unrighteous man his thoughts. And let him return unto the Lord, and He will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for He will abundantly pardon. Seek the Lord while He may be found. He may not always be found. We have to seek Him while He is found, but the invitation is to seek God. Seek the Lord while He may be found. Call upon Him while He's near. Let the wicked forsake his way, the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return to God. He will hear him, forgive him. He will abundantly pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. And you hear that preached. Oh, it says, my ways are not your ways. My thoughts are not your thoughts. It's like the heaven is higher than the earth, so higher are my ways than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. But you know that He was talking to them under the old covenant. He had just told them, seek the Lord while He may be found. You're not right with God. You've been in captivity. You've been in a foreign land. You've sinned against God. You've gone away from God. Seek the Lord. Come back to Him while He may be found. My ways are not your ways. My thoughts are not your thoughts. When God says that, He's not talking to the church. He's not talking to born-again people. You know why? Because our ways are His ways. And they're not perfectly His ways all the time. But we need to become more like Him. Our ways need to be more like Him. Our thoughts are to be more like Him. Because we're not away from Him anymore. We have come to God. We're born again. The heavens higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, It's not talking about people who are not right with God. He's talking about these people who need to come to God. My ways are not your ways, but they can be. My thoughts are not your thoughts, but they can be. All you have to do is seek the Lord and come back to me. For as the rain comes down and the snow from heaven and returneth not thither, but waters the earth and makes it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater. The rain, we've seen the rain, the snow, seen a little bit of snow, just a teaser this week. Just enough to say it snowed a little bit, perhaps. Whether it's rain, whether it's snow, it doesn't matter. It comes down from heaven, waters the earth, does not return, but it gives seed to the sower and bread to the eater. If you need seed to sow, it gives you that. If you need bread to eat that comes from the seed that's sown, it gives you that. So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it. Just like that rain that comes down from heaven. Just like that snow that comes down from heaven. That's how my word is. The rain and the snow waters and helps the earth. They cultivate the earth and helps to replenish the earth so that you can have the seed, so you can have the bread. That's the way my word is that goes forth out of my mouth. It will not return to me void. It will accomplish that which I please. It will prosper in the thing whereto I send it. God's word will do its job. For you shall go out with joy and be led forth with peace. The mountains and the hills shall break forth before you into singing, and all the trees of the field shall clap their hands. There was a course made of that. You shall go out with joy and be led forth with peace. The mountains and the hills shall break forth before you shall go out with joy and be led forth with peace. The trees shall clap their hands, and all the trees of the field shall clap their hands. The trees of the field shall clap their hands. The trees of the field shall clap their hands as they go out with joy. We have scripture songs. Instead of the thorn shall come up the fir tree. Instead of the briar shall come up the myrtle tree. God said, I'm going to make it fruitful again. It shall be to the Lord for a name, an everlasting sign that shall not be cut off. We're talking about this loving kindness of God. God's compassion for all people. And I thank God that He has compassion on us. On you and I today, we are recipients of the love and compassion of God. Father, we thank you that God is a compassionate God. God's compassion for all people. I pray, Lord, today that you would help many to come to our Lord, who's loving and kind, good. He wants to save, wants to heal, wants to forgive. I pray that many would come to you and be saved and forgiven, be healed today. In Jesus' name, amen.
You have been listening to a Bible teaching session from Isaiah chapters 54 and 55. The title has been, God's Compassion for All People. Make sure that Jesus Christ is your Savior and you know Him as your Lord today. This has been a production of Tony Broom Ministries.